My God, if we could only get Harris now, this business would be good for us.
What do you mean?
I don't know. If we could get Campbell to fire him instead of us, one of us would get his job. We wouldn't be on the street.
Oh, there's no way. We've just got to take what's coming.
Campbell won't be back at the office till Wednesday. Harrison can't do anything to us on his own. Mm. He's still got tomorrow.
To do what?
I don't know. Anything could happen.
Oh, fat chance.
Morris was what you might call a fine figure of a man. Big shoulders and a big overcoat, strong nose, intelligent eyes. He was clearly a man of energy and courage. The force of his personality was indubitable, and it was now heightened by a violent, bad temper.
Where's my tea?
In the dog.
Oh, those brats upstairs. Yeah, it's past seven.
There's company for when you come back late.
Oh, put her to bed, for Christ's sake.
She can stay up. She's not doing any harm.
What am I going to do? Lucky Campbell wasn't there. I'll be out already. 8 o'clock is late enough for their age.
You'll go to bed when I say.
And no point in pleading with Harrison. If only something would happen to him. Wait, my dear. If he got run over tomorrow morning, I'll get his job. I'll be better at it, too. He's not going to get run over, is he? Babe, do you hear me?
Don't you shout at her. She'll go when I say. I'm her mother.
Yes, you're her mother, you bitch. But who's her sodding father?
Morris felt close to panic. He felt an urge to get out of his armchair and run away. If running could have saved him, he would have run all night through the darkened streets. The foyer of a Universal Advertising Agency was lavishly furnished. Mr. Campbell's office displayed all the latest fixtures and fittings with which a managing director would impress his wealthy clients. Bakelite dictaphones and tubular steel armchairs. But behind the scenes where the copywriters and the staff artists labored, things were very different. It was here that the crucial decisions were reached.
Shall I get 2 packets again, Mr. Harrison?
Yes, why not? And I notice we're running low on sugar as well, Molly.
Yes, Mr. Harrison.
Nothing gets past you, does it?
Do say something, Morris.
Adjusting it aloud, Mr. Harrison.
And Morris. Old Royd Wilkins. Oh, Wilkins is just a boy. Not a bad boy, just not much brain. He never dreamed up this little scam. He's been led astray. Old Roy, his shoulder should know better. He's always been reliable. Good proofreader. Steady chap. If he's contrite, I'll put in a word for him. But Morris. Morris is the ringleader. Far too high an idea of his own abilities, rather too much energy and ambition for my taste. Always had his eye on my job. I'd be glad of the chance to get rid of him. He's altogether too dangerous. Oh, and Molly?
Mr. Harrison?
You can go after tea. No doubt you'll want to get back early.
What for?
For the fireworks, of course.
Haven't got any, Mr. Harrison.
Not got any? We always have them. My kids love it. A bonfire and everything.
I don't like loud noises.
Oh, well, never mind. You can go anyway, Molly.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison.
Cheerio, Molly.
The blood flowed hot under Morris's skin as he sat at his desk. It was an exalted, creative moment. A torrent of thought poured through his brain, strong, lucid, ingenious. He knew now that in the evening, a state of affairs would arise when he could kill Harrison.
There's nothing we can do. We've had it. He's going to give us the boat tomorrow.
Well, unless we stop him.
Stop him?
Yes.
How?
You got a gun, haven't you, all right? Your old service revolver.
What are you talking about? You're going to shoot him?
Yes.
But, Morris, you must be mad.
Well, do I look mad? Do I? Hey? All right, I'm not asking to do anything. Wilkins can help just a little bit, but you won't be mixed up in it in any way, either of you. All I want is for you to lend me your gun.
What for, exactly?
What do you think?
But
look, there'll be no danger to you. You're going to chuck it off Waterloo Bridge afterwards.
But what?
Bad stuff, your butt up your ass. You want to lose your job? Spend your life sitting in a public library with the nutters and dossers?
They'll get you.
They won't. There's no motive. He won't have told anyone about us. What's the police going to do? They'll start with a wife, look for another woman, that's what they always do, and whatever they find, they won't find me. And even if they do, what's it to you? You'll be all right even if they catch me, which they won't.
He might have told someone about us. You can't prove he hasn't.
Right, gentlemen, back to work, eh? Morris,
Mr. Harrison?
I've been trying to work something up on this. What do you think of this strap line?
I think it's bollocks.
Wilkins, what are you laughing at? My God, I'm sick of the whole... You'd think of something better.
Yes, Mr. Harrison.
I haven't said anything to anyone as yet, gentlemen. But if I were you, I'd start thinking about looking for another job.
Hawkins, is your bike running okay?
Yes.
Pick me up tonight. Okay.
Okay.
Is there a secret you'd like to share, Wilkins?
No, Mr. Harrison.
You've only just had your supper.
It's important, Mum.
What is?
Have you ever felt like you've been living in books, but then suddenly you're doing things, thinking things, and they're real?
This is a girl, John.
Might be.
Go on, then.
Good lad. Where are we going? To Olroyd's. We won't be stopping long. Just pick something up. Wait for me here.
Evening.
Mr. Olroyd in?
Second floor.
That's all right. I know my way. Unless you want to come up with me, darling.
Morris, I...
What's that? Come on, you're going to give it to me or not?
Olroyd.
Where is he, then?
In the drawer. How many bullets?
Five.
That's all there is.
That's enough.
Any good, boy?
Morris.
Do you ever been to Harrison's place?
No.
Between here and Eldon. Go over the main road and fare right.
Morris felt no fear. The exaltation of spirit which possessed him was something he'd never known before. To find oneself facing a considerable danger, holding all the threads, keeping track of risks and possibilities, was splendid.
Why?
Okay, so man. You wait here.
He worked his way along the hedge until he had a full view of Harrison's back garden. Harrison was near the bonfire with his children, and after a moment he stepped up to the fire and stirred it with a rake. Sparks whirled upward. Harrison was illuminated by a mass of ruddy flame. Morris pointed the pistol and pulled the trigger. At the first shot, Harrison staggered. At the second, he pitched forward onto his face into the fire. Morris emptied the chamber into Harrison's heaving back.
Let's go. Not too fast. Gently does it. Now, back to Olroyd.
Is your toy back?
I don't want it. Have you done it?
All done. Oh. Most satisfactory.
Well, you would have been gone 15 minutes. Has he done it?
Right, now look, both of you, pull yourself together. It's done, and we've got to make the most of it. And we'll be fine as long as we keep our heads. But one slip, one little slip, and we're all for it.
Oh.
Suppose anything comes out and I'm nicked. Where did I get the gun? From Mr. Olroyd. Who took me on his bike? Mr. Wilkins. And that's what I'll say if I get into trouble. You poor buggers, do you think I'll be stupid enough to risk my neck without incriminating you as well?
You bastard.
But, Morris...
All right, all right. Calm down. I didn't mean it. It's done now. We can't bring him back. You don't want to let Olroyd and me down, do you? Do you?
No.
Well, that's it. Good lad. Now, there's one more thing to sort out. The police will be around sooner or later asking questions.
The police?
They won't ask much. All we've got to do is be natural.
Oh, Mr. Morris, something awful's happened.
What, so these things are safe?
No, really awful. Mr. Harrison was killed last night.
Harrison? How? Was it an accident?
I don't know. There's a detective here. Is it with Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, now then, Molly, everyone's to get on with our work as usual.
Yes, Mr. Campbell.
Morris, will you come in for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Morris, this is Detective Inspector Woods.
How do you do?
Just a few questions, Mr. Morris, to see if you can throw any light.
Of course.
We were all at my place. We stayed till
8, and Morris went home.
You and me went to the pictures.
Oldroyd.
Steady.
Oh, now then, Molly. I've had to go on, you know. We'll need those proofs.
Yes, Mr. Morris.
Oh, Oldroyd, you're next in. Oh. You're all right. You can say you couldn't have been up to any mischief because you had your Uncle Morris with you all evening.
I say, Morris.
Now then, Wilkins, let's have a look at what to do, shall we?
It's all right. He doesn't bite. He doesn't suspect us. Do you understand?
Yes.
We came around to Oroyd's. We talked. You went to the pictures. Yes?
Yes.
Good lad. You'll be fine.
Poor Wilkins. Very cut up about it.
Yes, Mr. Campbell. We all are.
But life must go on. I must find someone to take Harrison's place.
Yes, sir.
Do you think you could do it?
Yes, I think so, sir.
You'll have a raise, but it'll only be a few pounds a week to begin with.
Well, everyone, I've got Harrison's job. Sorry and all that, but that's how it is, so let's get on with it. I'm home.
Shall we?
Oh, well.
What's this the maid of?
I've been promoted.
You haven't.
I've got a raise.
You haven't.
Come upstairs.
For the kids.
Won't take long.
Oh, put me down, you big bully.
To Morris, there seemed nothing nightmarish about the situation. Life was golden and hopeful. But both Wilkins and Oldroyd felt the horror of sitting down to work with a murderer in authority over them.
Oldroyd, I want those layouts not finished. We'll get a move on then. There'll be no more slack times now. Harrison let us off easy, I should know, but that's going to change.
We'll use our time properly.
Oh, don't let it go to your head.
What do you say?
Nothing.
Let's have it back in 10 minutes.
I say.
Wilkins, what do you want?
I can't go on.
What the hell are you talking about?
Don't, please don't. I need to talk to you. I must.
All right. We'll have lunch, the three of us. All right.
When she came into the office.
Who?
Mrs. Harrison. You're dressed in black. And the children... I put some money in an envelope and sent it to her.
Yeah. Christ!
Well, it was just a few pounds.
Did you put your name on the envelope?
No, of course not. How can you...
Pull yourself together. The case is dropped. The police have packed it in. We're in the clear. Safe as houses. What's the problem?
It's just the awfulness of all this. Where's it going to end?
End? There won't be any end of that business. Not for us, I hope.
But I can't bear it. I won't.
You're what?
Have you told anyone?
No.
But what? Now look, Wilkins, old man, you can't let us down. We've put our lives in your hands. Now, you wouldn't let your pals down, would you?
No.
Look, I'll tell you what. Shake hands. There. That's good. Now, with Oldroyd.
Yes.
Good man. We've got to stick together, do you see?
Yes.
Have a nice day at the office, dear.
I've only just got started in this business. I can make a packet. I know I could. I'm good. I've got good ideas. I could be someone.
Daddy, Daddy.
What do you want?
I'm digging in the garden,
I... Oh. But Wilkins, that weak little swine will ruin everything. He's going to spill his guts sooner or later. I know he is. What am I going to do? Oh, God, take him out, will you?
Where?
I don't know. I'll kill himself and I won't have to bother.
That's good to leave a note or something. But then how? Shopping. Take them shopping. Here, get some sweets or something.
Sweeties!
Sweeties! All right, come on.
Morris watched his family straggling away down the steep hill that led to the main road.
You see that guy that pushed you there? There'll be nothing to stop it. There it would go, hurtling down the street, right down to the bottom of all the cars and the buses and the lorries. One other chance.
He felt a strange ferment of thoughts and ideas, warning of inspiration about to descend. He felt the warm flush of blood he'd known before when Harrison had told Molly about the bonfire. It was an instant of creation, and in less than 10 seconds, he had evolved the whole scheme.
Daddy!
Hello, love.
Jane, don't eat all of them. You'll be sick.
I'll take the kids to the park this morning, if you like, dear. Give you a bit of a breather.
Would you? Really?
Of course. Why not?
Oh, bless you. You are a dear.
It's a long way to the park, Daddy. Why are we going to the park, Daddy?
You never know. Might meet a friend.
What, Daddy?
There they are. That's a nice dress.
What?
Come on, smile at me, Brett. Shall we have an ice cream?
Why, it's Mr. Morris, isn't it?
I'm sorry, sir, I don't quite...
We only met the once, you wouldn't remember. John, where's your manners?
This is my father.
Look here, I didn't see you there.
I'm sorry, sir, I do remember you now.
And these your little ones?
Yes.
Charming. I hear we're to congratulate you on your promotion.
Oh, yes, thanks.
Keeping my boy up to the mark.
Yes, rather.
Perhaps you'd care to take tea with us this afternoon, Mr. Morris.
Dad? Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Wilkins, but I always spend Sunday PM with the wife and kids. Oh. Don't get much of a chance for the rest of the week.
Of course.
Why don't you come over to us, Wilkins? Come over on the bike. Have a bit of tea with us.
Well, that's very kind of Mr. Morris. You're not busy, are you, John?
No.
Well, that's fine. About four, old man.
All right.
Come on in, old man.
What about the bike? Better not leave it in the road with all these kids about.
No.
That's the idea. See it inside the gate there.
Hello, Mrs. Morris.
Hello, John. I may call you John Maitland.
Oh, yes, of course.
Don't turn about. Pull up a pew.
Oh. Would you like some bread and butter, John?
Oh, thanks very much.
And a piece of cake?
Oh, no, thanks.
Wait your turn. And say please. How many times do I have to tell you? So sorry, Mr. Wilkins. John.
I'll be mother. Have that milk with that, old man?
Oh, yes, please.
Damn.
Charlie, you clumsy.
Never mind. I'll mop it up.
That's the last of the milk. Don't you remember? You had a glass when you came in.
Dashy, yes. Don't worry, I'll nip to the shop.
No, really, not for me.
Of course you must, clumsy idiot.
But please, I shan't be a tick.
Well, Charlie's not normally so clumsy.
No.
Is he in the office?
What?
Clumsy.
No, not really. Where
does it? Sorry.
Please.
Well, does it go terribly fast?
What?
Your motorbike. It looks as though it goes terribly fast.
100 miles an hour, top speed.
Goodness.
I haven't ridden it that fast.
I should hope not.
It's an Alpine Grand Sport, 1,000cc. Well, 988. But it's as near as makes no difference. But each one is sold with a written guarantee that it'll reach 100 miles an hour.
Goodness.
It's got an air-cooled V-twin. It's got a castle fork with a friction damper. That means it's supported top and bottom, you see. A girder fork wouldn't go at all.
I see. Charlie, what have you been up to?
Sorry, bit of a queue at the shop. Here you are.
Don't be silly, we need a fresh pot now.
Really, I ought to think about...
You're not going, old man. I thought we might have a talk.
Really, I ought. It's getting dark.
That's a pity. Children, come and say goodbye to your Uncle John.
It is a bit dark. Will you be all right?
I'll be fine.
Goodbye, then. See you Monday.
Goodbye.
As the bike began to run down the slope, Wilkins put in the clutch.
The clutch? It's loose. What?
The spring link on the driving chain had been weakened somehow. The chain now lay in the road 50 yards behind him. He was already flying down that fearful hill. The way in which the bike leapt and bumped in the road told him how fast he was traveling.
Brakes?
He pulled at the brake levers. First one, then the other came up without any resistance. The brake nuts must have worked loose as well somehow. By this time, he was only 100 yards from the main road. The bike covered the distance in 4 seconds. Just long enough for Wilkins to realize what lay before him.
No! No!
The police officials who sorted out the facts regarding Wilkins' death had nothing at all to do with the ones who had already begun to shelve the mystery of Harrison's murder as insoluble. The coroner's jury had frequently shaken their heads when young men went roaring past them with open exhausts, and they had no hesitation in bringing in a verdict of accidental death. Even those who knew Morris well had no suspicion. They commented on the coincidence which had deprived the agency of 2 employees within so many days, but only with the same obviousness as they remarked that the days were drawing in. There was only one person in the whole world who drew the correct conclusion, and that, naturally, was all right.
Morris!
What?
You killed him, didn't you?
Who?
You bastard, you did.
Not in the middle of the Strand, for God's sake. Don't make a fool of yourself. Come up the alley. Now, what was it you were saying?
You heard.
Yes. And? What then? No, there isn't much you can say, is there? You should keep your nose out of other people's business.
You
want to fight? I'll fight you if you like. Be glad of it any time. It won't do you any good. Might do you a lot of harm.
What do you mean?
You could get yourself into a hell of a mess. You might start people talking. They might start asking questions about the other thing that happened. You know what I mean. You try to bring me down, and you'll bring yourself down too. Don't forget it.
I'll get you. I'll get you somehow.
Don't play with fire, matey. You know what happened to the last 2 people who got in my way. I'm a dangerous man, I am. No one knows that better than you. I'd watch my step if I were you.
Aldroyd's loathing of Morris increased day by day. By nature, stirred of the unimaginative, he would realize with a shock that he'd been looking at Morris's thick lips and telling himself that they had tasted blood. It was very bad for his concentration.
Howlett, you can take lunch now.
Yes, Mr. Morris.
Old Roy, come here a minute, will you?
What do you want?
You know, don't you?
No.
Your work's not good enough.
Oh, isn't it?
You know damn well it isn't. There isn't a day goes by when I don't have to sort one of your mistakes out. You're slow and careless, and you haven't made a decent suggestion for weeks. I can't have that in my office.
Oh, can't you?
I'm warning you for your own good. We'll give you a reference. I don't care who you work for as long as it isn't us. But if there isn't a big improvement soon, then out you go. Double quick. Got it? All right.
King's evidence.
What? What's that you said?
King's evidence.
What are you talking about?
You just try and sack me. You see what I do then. What do you think the police will say if I go to them and tell them about... I'll turn King's evidence. If they get you and what I can prove, then they'll let me off. If you put me out of a job, and that's what I'll do. They'd like to know how Harrison died, wouldn't they? And will King...
Shut up! All right. All right. Oh, you've done me this time. You want to make a fool of yourself, I can't stop you, I suppose. I'll just have to put up with you.
That's right.
Do what you like.
Yes.
But, look here, old man. Don't come it over me too much. Do a bit of work now and then. The others will guess something's up if you don't. We can't afford to take any chances, can we?
No.
It's crazy to fall out. We should back each other up. We shouldn't be enemies, we should be partners, eh? We should stick together.
What do you say?
All right.
Oh, my God.
Don't you start. It's bad enough as it is. He's teething.
Can you upstairs, for Christ's sake? Take him away.
Old Royd. What am I going to do about old Royd? He's a menace. If he opens his mouth, I'm dead. I can't even sack the lazy-gone bastard. I'll have to tear him into pieces with my hands. I'll have to stamp on him. No, no, there's got to be a plan. A good one. Good as the others, a scheme for the abolishing of old Royd.
Charlie?
Hmm?
Nothing.
What is it?
It's nothing.
What the hell's the matter with you? Don't start moaning. The only way it's going to get better is when the kids go to school and you won't have them on your hands so much.
I might have to wait a bit longer for that.
What?
It's just that...
What?
There's another one on the way.
Oh, my God, are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Oh, can't you...
What?
Can't you do something about it?
No, I can't. I'm not doing anything like that. It's due at the end of August.
Oh, Christ.
Morris would have to do the housework while she put her feet up. He would have to put the children to bed, then come down and find the scullery piled high with washing up. And when the time came, he, the great Charlie Morris, would have to bow and scrape to the doctor and the nurse. The sleeplessness, the anxiety, and the humiliating helplessness. The expense. It wouldn't have been so bad if the desks had been arranged so that Aldroyd could see his opponent. That he had to sit with his back to Morris all day long and for weeks now with the added knowledge that Morris would gladly see him dead. He seemed to Aldroyd to have become some huge, poisonous spider, gorged with blood, crouching at his desk, plotting destruction.
There's nothing you'd like better than to see me go. I won't. I won't. I've got to get the better of him.
Right, lunch, everybody. Old Roy, you too, go get your lunch. Go on, then.
All right.
Actually, I think I'll go too. Howlett, you're in charge.
Yes, Mr. Morris.
Old Roy! Old Roy!
What is it?
I just wanted a word.
Yes?
But the old man is cutting up a bit rough, you know. He'd have had you out this morning if I hadn't spoken up for you.
So what?
You can't let us both down like this. I told you, it's bad for both of us. It's bad for the office, too.
So what?
Come on, don't be like that, old man.
He put his hand on Aldroyd's shoulder, and its touch roused Aldroyd's loathing.
Please, old man.
The hand on Aldroyd's shoulder moved a little, as though settling itself more firmly, and that probably saved Aldroyd's life.
Please.
A bus came racing along right beside the pavement. As it reached him, Morris straightened his arm with a direct, well-timed swipe.
You bloody idiot!
If Aldroyd had not been on his guard, it would have just been enough to send him under the wheel.
Hey, old man, you'll have an accident if you're not careful.
What the hell do you mean?
He nearly stepped under that bus.
You pushed me. You pushed me, you devil.
Steady on.
My bullet's alive. I know you did.
What have I did? So what? Hey? Sure what?
Abruptly, Morris turned on his heel and walked away. As Aldroyd stood staring after him, he gradually realized that he was now engaged in a duel. A duel to the death with a fiend of strength and cunning. When Morris returned from lunch, the bitterness of failure soon diminished. It was a good plan and had come close to succeeding. It would not be long before he could devise another. He felt the germs of several ideas sprouting in his mind already.
We're doing well, Morris.
Yes, sir.
I give you the credit for this.
Oh, well.
You know what you're about. You have a vigor, a directness of vision, I want you to know it does not go unnoticed.
Thank you, sir.
We shall have to take on more staff before long.
Yes, I can see it coming.
I could bring you a new clerk next week if you like.
There's enough work for one.
I suppose you could teach layout, things like that.
I could do with a good layout, man.
It wouldn't be a man. I was thinking about my daughter.
Oh.
Now she's finished school, I was thinking a year or two in the office, a bit of experience would do her good.
It might. Of course.
She'll be under you. I won't do it unless you're sure it won't upset things.
No, no. Of course it won't.
Though Miss Doris Cambor was tall and slim and well-dressed, there was nothing else to distinguish her from any other 19-year-old of her background. But soon, everyone at the office could have said for certain that she had grey eyes and black hair, and before long, the office boy was her attentive slave. On Morris, her presence had a very marked effect.
I don't know, Mr. Morris. You make it all sound awfully easy.
Well, it's not as easy as all that. Any fool can write an ad. Lots of fools do. But it isn't a fool who can do it well.
He could hardly fail to notice that Miss Campbell's youth, beauty, and intelligence were all in remarkable contrast to his wife's.
Hello, Miss Campbell.
Good afternoon, Mr. Morris.
The usual good lunch.
Of course.
And the usual good appetite.
The result of the usual good conscience.
Lucky girl.
Why, isn't your conscience as good as it might be?
No, I'm afraid not.
Dear, dear. Whatever have you been up to?
Oh, things I couldn't tell you about.
Goodness, you must have fallen into bad ways.
I'm afraid I came under a bad influence when I was young. I hadn't met you then, you said.
And what difference would that have made?
I think you would have had a good influence over me if we'd met when I was young.
You at 18 and me in short frocks.
You know what I mean.
What a pity fate has held us apart.
Yes, but time remedies everything in the end, doesn't it? Perhaps...
Oh, sorry. Am I...
Are you what?
Nothing. Afternoon, Miss Campbell.
Good afternoon, Mr. Oldroyd.
So get out of it, Oldroyd. You no need to hang around.
Yes, Mr. Morris.
What's he up to now? Something with her? I shan't let him get the better of me. I shan't.
For some time, life in the office went on uneventfully. At home, Morris began to lapse into a self-contained abstraction, which his wife, absorbed by her own condition, barely noticed. He had much to think about. There were his plans for the abolishing of Oldroyd, his flirtation with Miss Campbell. Also, he dreamed up a scheme for the agency's main client. It was original. It was simple. It would stimulate sales and make people talk. It would induce the client to spend more money through the agency and so increase their commission. It was destined to go down in the history of the industry as a really brilliant idea. As a result of his deliberations, he failed to keep such a close eye on the workforce.
Morris, what the devil does this mean? This is the simplest thing, and someone has made a complete pig's ear of it. Who the hell is it that can't do their sums? Whose handwriting is this?
Oldroyd's.
I thought so. Well, that's the last time he makes a fool of himself in my office. Tell him to come and get his cards. He's finished. Go on, fetch him in. We'll settle this now.
Mr. Campbell...
Morris, this must be difficult for you. You've always stood up for him. I know he's a friend of yours. I admire your loyalty, but this is too much. It's got to be done now.
It's not that, sir.
What is it, then?
I know why he's been so absent-minded.
What?
He's been dreaming up a sort of scheme. He only told me about it this morning. It's quite simple, but... I think it's a bit of a gold mine, actually. Miss Campbell?
Yes, Mr. Morris?
You can go.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. You're very kind.
Yes, I am, aren't I? It's my kind heart that's kept me back in life. Howlett, I don't need you either. You can go. Oldroyd?
What?
I want you to stay on a bit and run through something.
I can't stay tonight.
You'll have to. It's only for a minute.
I can't.
Come on, let's get started. See, you're in such a hurry.
Good night, all.
No, I've got to.
For God's sake, relax. I'm not going to kill you this evening. I just want you to listen to something.
What?
You loused up some figures. Again. The old man found them this afternoon. He decided to kick you out. To stop him from doing that, I told him about a little scheme I'd thought up. I told him it was your idea. He likes it. He likes it a lot. He wanted to have you in straight away, so I had to stop him and say you told me in confidence. So tomorrow, I've got to tell him you've given me permission. Do you understand? So I better tell you all about it. Do you understand? Damn you, do you understand?
I hear you.
So you go along with it.
Will I? I don't know.
You must.
Must I? I don't see any must about it.
Yeah, you stupid. All right. I've done what I could. If you want to get the sack, that's your business. If you go bleating to the police, they can't stop you. So, anyway, when he calls you in tomorrow, you'll know why. So you don't have to make a fool of yourself unless you want to.
Well, see, it's not me who's made a fool of.
Oh, get out. Get out of here, you moron. Get out before I kill you.
Morris, they bought it. Knew they would. I can't believe no one's thought of it before. And Oldroyd. Who would have thought Oldroyd? The man must be a genius.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me about it straight away?
Well, I couldn't be sure.
That's not like you. I thought you'd jump at it. It's a brilliant idea.
I see that now, sir. We can start getting out a few roughs straight away, then.
Do you think we ought to consult Oldroyd? It was his idea.
No, I don't think he'd thank us. To be honest, I don't think he'd be much good.
Just an ideas man, do you think?
Exactly.
I'd have to raise his wages, I suppose. A few pounds a week. This is going to be the biggest thing for years. Funny, he didn't seem very excited by the whole thing.
These creative types are always a bit eccentric, aren't they, sir?
Oldroyd, keep it under your hat. But have you heard about the new scheme? Father's ever so excited.
I know all about it.
Do you?
I thought it up.
Did you?
Yes.
Really and truly?
Ask Morris.
I see, Mr. Morris, who thought up the bonus scheme?
Oldroyd.
Really?
Yes.
See?
Mr. Oldroyd, I take my hat off to you.
Now then, listen, everybody. We're going to have to take on more staff. Mr. Braithwaite will be joining us as chief copywriter. You've heard of him. And there'll be new artists, typists and so on. So we're opening up the office across the way. Mr. Campbell's moving over there. Mr. Braithwaite's running things here. I'm going over there too and... you'll be coming with me, Miss Campbell.
The astounding success of the distributive bonus scheme is a matter of advertising history. It held the public spellbound. The newspapers were forced to give it publicity it had not paid for. And when comedians began mentioning it in their acts, its renown was proved beyond doubt. But there was one person to whom this success was a source of irritation.
It just runs itself, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it would take a clever man to stop it, wouldn't it?
Yes. Even the great Oldroyd might not be able to work that one out. Fortunately, we don't need him to, do we?
No.
Look at this. I'd like to know what you think.
Who, me?
You're not as stupid as you look. You pick it up quickly enough. You let the little girl lost that get you through to begin with, but you don't miss much, do you?
Working with you is like having a cold shower.
Keeps you all aglow.
Most of the young men I meet are a little less bracing. Very nice and elegant young men, very relaxing, but...
And more like a warm bath.
Warm bath? Cold shower? Which does Mrs. Morris prefer?
Molly? Is Morris in?
His lordship is in his office. Likewise her ladyship.
Do you mean Miss Campbell?
Her usual place these days.
I'll wait then. I don't want to interrupt.
Whatever you want with his lordship, you stand more chance of getting it if you don't interrupt. Not when she's with him.
What do you mean?
I don't mean anything, Mr. Oldroyd.
Hello, Oldroyd.
Hi.
I haven't seen much of you since the move.
Hello.
Is Mr. Braithwaite treating you properly? I hear he's a bit of a tartar.
So. Is Mr. Morris in?
Charlie, Mr. Oldroyd's come to see us.
Send him in, then.
Hello, Charlie.
What do you want?
Mr. Oldroyd, so nice to see you. Pull up a chair, have a cigar.
What do you want?
I want Braithwaite off my back, and I want another raise.
What?
You heard me. Just a few pounds a week.
If you want to get on the right side of Braithwaite, try and have a work. Mr. Campbell gives the pay rises, not me.
Maybe, but a word from you would do the trick. And you can arrange something about Braithwaite. You could move me over here, maybe. Though I wouldn't want to intrude on you and Miss Campbell.
What?
You heard.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've said what I wanted. Now you see that I get it.
You can't make me.
Can't I? Everything's going very well for you, isn't it? She's a bit young for you, married man and that. Bit out of your class. Still, you might be in with a chance, who's to say? You know what your problem is? You've got too much to lose.
Morris felt the workings of his old rage within him. As he sat with his hands on the desk in front of him, his strong fingers writhed and twisted with the thought of violence towards Oldroyd. His mind began to work. His imaginative powers had been stimulated into life again. Morris was starting to make plans. That evening, he did not go home. Instead, he walked towards Oldroyd's lodging, and in his pocket was a strong, supple length of rope.
A few minutes. Just a few minutes. I'll be at it. That ain't casual this time. Not poisoning, shooting, motorcycle accidents. And that long-distance stuff. This'll be him. And me. I'll get my hands on him. Now, don't get too excited, Charles. Think it through. Think it through. 7 o'clock. He'll finish his supper. He'll be on his own. I'm going to tell him he's got the sack, then I leave. And the poor fellow is so upset. Who would have thought he would take it so badly? Poor fellow. Poor fellow.
Evening.
Mr. Oldroyden.
Second floor.
That's all right, I know my way. Unless you want to come up with me, little lump of gorgeousness.
Hello, Mr. Morris.
Yes, sir.
Getting quite normal. Just the same as usual. Quietly, quietly. The rope. Loosen the right hand. Slip it off by the thumb. Now.
Oldroyd was sitting by the fire, reading the paper. When the door opened, he looked round to see who was entering so silently and unceremoniously. For a fraction of a second, he saw Morris's face and on it an expression that was horrible to contemplate. Then Morris leapt silently on him and slipped the noose around his neck and an arm around his chest. Oldroyd felt a dreadful pain in his neck as the noose tightened, while Morris, with a hideous display of strength, swung him up from his chair and began to carry him across the room to where some hooks were screwed into the wall above head height. Oldroyd began to lose consciousness.
Silent. He's deadly silent. He has to do it quiet. That's it. I've got to make a noise.
Oldroyd made an effort to kick over the dressing table as he went past it.
Psst!
Oldroyd's struggles merged with the involuntary writhings of slow strangulation. Morris bore him steadily towards the hooks.
Bedpost!
One hand broke from under Morris's arms and clutched at the bedpost. Morris wrenched and tore to break the grip, but the fingers would not let go.
Hold on! Hold on!
Morris tugged and twisted while Oldroyd's heels hacked at his shins.
Hold on!
The fingers would not let go. Morris released his grip on the rope and reached out to the fingers. Aldroyd's hand shot back to the noose around his neck and loosened it by the merest, tiniest inch. Morris, tightening the noose again, hesitated.
Someone must have heard that. If only I'm hanging, he'll remember.
All right, relax. I might kill you after all. Let that be a lesson to you. If I wanted to, you'd be dangling from those hooks now, as dead as a doornail. They'll teach you to mess about with me. I won't let you off again.
Behave yourself next time.
It was an expo. experiment worth making. I made an experiment, and that experiment proved that the chosen matter was unsatisfactory. That's all. Disappointing, yes. But I'll think of something else shortly.
Good night, sir.
Good night, darling.
I say, old Roy, old man, what's the matter with your neck?
Remember what I asked for yesterday? A few pounds a week.
Oh, you.
I mean it.
Morning, morning. All right. What's the muffler for?
Mr. Campbell, can I have a word? There's something I'd like to tell you.
All right, all right. I'll deal with it.
Thank you, Modest.
What's the matter with Oldroyd?
He's got a bad sore throat. He's been working too hard.
Has he?
He does a lot of thinking. That's how he dreamed up that scheme. I think it takes it out of him. If we gave him a bit of freedom in the office, he might come up with something else.
Well, coming into work in that state, there must be some good to him.
And maybe a few more pounds a week?
Morris glossed over his two failures to kill Oldroyd. He was still determined to destroy him. He had experimented, but without circumstances being in his favor. And now his energies were taken in another direction, towards Miss Doris Campbell. So far as Oldroyd was concerned, he decided to simply wait and watch until favorable circumstances arose. In favorable circumstances, Harrison had died, and Wilkins. So, soon, might someone else.
It's all right, I'll wash up.
No, really.
Now then, you put your feet up. A girl in your condition.
Oh. Met Mrs. Herbert in the butcher's.
Oh, yes.
She didn't say much, but you should have seen her looking. She wanted me to say something about it. I think it shows much.
Oh, it does a bit.
Oh, dear. I wish it wouldn't.
Right, old girl, don't take on. You do just as you like, and that's what I like.
Oh, Charlie, I'm sorry. You're sweet to me. When I first told you I was pregnant, I thought, you've been so kind lately. I'm sorry I was snappy.
Don't be silly. You've got to be looked after now, haven't you? Tell you what, let's get a girl in on a Sunday and we can spend the day together.
Oh, where should we go?
With you on the river. It's been years since I've been on the river.
I didn't know you liked the river.
Oh, yes, love it.
Oh, where should we go? Or we could go to Kew.
Oh, no, there are nicer places than that. Higher up. Marlow, Windsor, Clevedon Reefs. That's just lovely.
What's it nice?
Lovely. Big cliffs all covered with trees, birds, lonely. Nice and lonely.
Oh, sounds nice.
We could go every Sunday.
What am I going to wear? I haven't got a summer frock that fits me now.
Oh, go and get what you want. How much do you need for a new rig out?
Dunno.
Come on.
It won't fit me very long.
You could alter it after.
I do need a new hat. I could go up west. I could meet you at the office afterwards.
No, that wouldn't quite... Look, here's a few pounds. Just cover it.
Oh, Charlie.
She leaned her face up for a kiss, and Morris duly kissed her. Hard. And thought of Miss Doris Campbell. A week or so later, Mrs. Morris was sitting, surrounded by parcels, at a table in the tea shop opposite her husband's office. Perhaps her choice of tea rooms had something to do with her memory of the way he'd told her not to come and meet him at work.
It's Mr. Oldroyd, isn't it?
Mrs. Morris?
Are you meeting someone?
No, I...
Oh, would you like to join me? I was just having a nice cup of tea.
Oh. All right.
What's the matter with your neck?
Sore throat. Doctor said to keep it wrapped up.
Dear me. It's so hot. Shopping is murder. I've been on a spree.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Two teas, please, dear. I've had to buy such a lot of things for the river.
The river?
Yes. Charlie and me go every Sunday now.
Oh.
Charlie used to go a lot before we were married.
Oh, did he?
You should know. Your old friend.
Oh, yes, 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 he did, didn't he?
It's rather a long way, but it's so nice when we get there.
Where do you go?
Maidenhead.
Maidenhead?
Clifton Reach. Oh,
it's a bit far, isn't it?
We get the train from Paddington, 9:55. We have our dinner on the water.
Oh, that must be nice. You go with friends?
No. Just the two of us. And a little rowing skiff. A pump wouldn't be so wobbly, but Charlie loves to row. He's ever so strong.
Yes, I know.
Sometimes we don't get back till it's almost dark.
That must be jolly nice.
Oh, Mr. Aldroyd, I must go to the little girl's room. It's every 5 minutes at the moment.
Is it?
Well, not with one thing and another.
Oh, aye. A congratulations in order.
They might be.
Oh. Clinton Reach. What's he up to? He's never been on the river before, I know he hasn't. And she's up the Duff again. And he's all over that Campbell girl. What am I supposed to do about it? Go to the police? Excuse me, my boss takes his wife on the river. He must be planning to drown her, officer. Bugger it. I must do something. I'm not going to let that big bastard get away with it again. But what can I do?
Three returns to Maidenhead, please.
Three?
You, me, and what's that in there?
Oh, Charlie.
Two returns, mate, sorry.
Platform 7.
Return to Maidenhead, please. When's the next one?
9:55, platform 7.
Ahoy, Captain. We would like your finest, fastest skiff.
Right, sir.
Well, you hold a beer, dear. It's not for me, it's for her, you know. She's got to build up her strength, the doctor says.
I'll take that dinghy.
Here you are, sir.
Been in one of these before.
I'll manage. Lockkeeper, lockkeeper, let down your hair.
Nothing, sir. You'll kill me.
Coming in then, sir.
Yes, please.
Stay in the boat, please, sir, till the gates have closed.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask you, how far is it to Clifton Reach?
Oh, it's right up ahead.
Thank you.
That's them, moored by those trees. If I pull onto those willows... keep an eye on here. Now we shall grow something to eat.
Go on, have another glass. Drink it for two, remember?
Maybe she was in that tea shop deliberately. Maybe they've lured me here and I'm the one who's going to drown. It can't be, can it? No. That's nonsense. Oh, this is a waste of time. What am I doing here? He's not up to anything. The sun will be going down in a minute. He's off home.
Not too late for you, dear.
Oh, no, Charlie. I've had a lovely day.
Am I crazy? Did he kill Harrison? And Wilkins? Did he try to kill me? I must be dreaming.
I got the boat. I go, you stupid fat cow. Down you go, cow. I don't want you, and I don't want that little thing swinging around inside you. Down you go.
Aldroyd sprang up at the oar in his hand, and with all the fear and hatred and loathing inside him, he swung it down on Morrissey's head.
I thought I recognized them. I was rowing up to say hello, and I saw the boat go over. When I came up, he was holding her up with his arms. I suppose the effort must have exhausted him. I grabbed hold of her and pulled her into the boat, but he went down. The river just seemed to take him.
Mrs. Morris.
Mr. Oldroyd, I have to thank you for saving my life.
I only wish it could have been both of you. I never would have believed that he could drown.
No. Charlie was such a strong man.
Yes. I suppose, really, he died trying to save you.
Yes. I suppose he did.
Everyone was sorry that a deplorable accident had deprived the world of such a forceful and efficient member of society who had shown such promise and talent. Except, of course, for Oldroyd, and perhaps Mrs. Morris, who, despite all that Oldroyd said, could never afterwards believe that the hands which had held her so mercilessly under the water had really been trying to save her.
In Plain Murder, Clive Merrison was the narrator. Nicholas Woodson, Morris. Jeffrey Whitehead, Oldroyd. Regina Friedman, Mrs. Morris. Dennis Hawthorne, Campbell. Will Keane, Wilkins. Rebecca Sayer, Doris Campbell. Christian Rodska, Harrison. And Tilly Vosborough, Molly. The music was by Bernard Herrmann and taken from the unused score to Alfred Hitchcock's Torn Curtain. Plain Murder was dramatized for radio by Robin Brooks and directed by Clive Brill. It was a Watchmaker production for BBC Radio 4.